Every child wants someone to say, you did a good job. And that's where peer pressure slams them. Because when we conform, even as parents, even as moms conforming, children conforming, someone says, good job. We have to be the one that say to our children, you did a great job, when they actually make a great decision and take on peer pressure.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. And I think everybody wants to hear, well done, you're doing great. Even as moms, we try so hard, dads too, trying so hard to be good parents. I had a friend just this past week who gets very involved in her church and was practically insulted by two other mom friends that she wasn't being a good parent because she gets her and her kids so involved in church and they're missing out on sports. And I thought, well, wow, that is just the epitome of pressure as a parent.
I got to tell you, when it comes to peer pressure, moms get as much as middle schoolers.
Yes.
Because moms buy into a plan, and when moms buy into a plan that they don't even think about, that sign your child up to do something that's a performance thing, every single thing. Mm-hmm. Why am I doing that? Because everybody else is doing it. Aren't I supposed to be doing this? And when they back away and don't do this, and they get ridiculed, and the reason they get ridiculed is because, wow, you're not doing what we're doing, and I don't want to think about what I'm doing. I want you back doing what it's almost like, how come you're not doing cocaine anymore? We were all doing cocaine and you're not doing cocaine. You're actually thinking when you make your decision. It's very, very affronting to come and say, I've changed my mind. We're not doing soccer anymore. When I made the decision with all my friends, and we grew up in a very tight group of 31 or 32 couples that were all in the same Sunday school class for some reason. We all had babies at the same time. And I just said, we're only playing one sport a year. Wow. It was, is that okay?
Yeah.
We just had other things to do. And I remember people asked me, what do you do? And I said, well, we actually go home and do things as a family now. Mm-hmm. We're not racing home and racing out the door to practice and then racing out the door to the game and then racing out the door to Wednesday night church. We're doing church and we're doing us and we're
taking
a break. Yeah. And they didn't get it. And so these little cultures, we have the culture and parenting of the peer pressure to be in public school, the peer pressure to be in Christian school, the peer pressure to be homeschoolers. And we all kind of don't forgive each other for not crossing over those lines,
right,
which just shows our own insecurities.
Wow.
So your friend that made the right decision to be doing that instead of what she had been doing, what all her friends are doing, what her sisters or whoever is doing, we each have to face God and make the decision. And that's what we want to teach our children.
Mm-hmm.
We want to teach our children. And when Roby actually said, how come we're not playing baseball? I said, why do you want to play baseball? He said it, because everybody else is playing baseball. I said, that's not a good enough reason. Why aren't we? And he got so he could finish the sentence for me.
Right.
Why aren't we jumping off the building? If everybody else is jumping off the building. And I'd start saying, I know, jumping off the building.
Mm-hmm.
There's another thing we're going to do during baseball season. You and I are going to learn how to put models together and see if you're an architect, and see if you're an engineer. We're going to put model boats and model cars and model things together and just have fun. But we're going to be together in the evening. So peer pressure comes in all forms. It begins full-on press and becomes really, really pressure. And there is pressure there. And we don't think it's pressure for our middle schoolers. But it's pressure to the point of tears pressure, to the point of your middle school daughter coming home and throwing a book bag on the because she doesn't have this and somebody made fun of the top she was wearing in school
today.
That was
me.
Yeah. And just, I'm miserable. I hate me. I'm ugly. Nobody likes me.
Mm-hmm.
And because that peer group iced her out or whatever, because the cool kid wants no competition. And let me tell you where peer pressure is ginormous. In 10th grade, we moved from Long Island to the Washington, D.C. area to Bethesda, Maryland. And it was in the middle of 10th grade, April 1st or April whatever, I arrived at the new school, Walt Whitman High School. And it was kind of amazing. I wanted to fit in. I felt good about myself. I felt like I had a crowd back in the other school. And because I played sports, I had the crowd. Because I came in the middle of school year, I didn't play sports or didn't know who the athletes were or didn't have time to play sports till the following beginning of my junior year. And so I really conformed to a nasty group and really got with a bad group initially to finish out the school year because they're the group that would have me. And they would have you for doing things that were not the right things to be doing with your life. And as a parent, my dad didn't get it. He didn't understand it, bless his heart, because he was going through the pain of the loss of his wife. My mom died of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a very, very difficult time for all of us. And when those difficult times and the family's in trauma, wow, we're going to conform anywhere and look for anybody to say, wow, that was cool what you just did, even if it's stupid.
Right.
And even if it's harmful, and even if it's dangerous. And so this thing called pressure, peer pressure, is a very, very sensitive issue that we as parents, we need to be aware of. But we also need to be great cheerleaders and sitting on the side of the bed people saying, hey, you looked a little sad today, and I asked you before, but you didn't want to talk about it. So I'm sitting in here now, and I'm sitting here on your bed, lying here in bed with you, sitting on the floor with my head on your bed. Let's talk. What happened? What did somebody say to you? What went on? Well, you know, Dad, I'm sitting at lunch and somebody made a funny comment, and then everybody else made the comment. They're making fun of me, or making fun of this shirt, or making fun of that I spilled something, or tripped over something, or whatever it was. And it was just, wow, I didn't want to be there anymore. And then what happened is, you know, the next time that happened to another kid, I can't believe it. I remember how bad I felt, and I jumped in and I made fun of him, and I was making bad comments and said, okay, you did that. And let's acknowledge that you did that. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about why you did that. Well, you know, Dad, I guess, be honest with you, I was glad it was somebody else. Or your child may not be that perceptive. May say, I don't know why I did that. Well, let me tell you why I might have done that. And probably did when I was your age. Because I was glad the stress was off of me and it was on somebody. And I wanted to keep it there.
Right.
But then, like you, you know, I came home and I realized, wow, I felt so bad when they did that to me. So let's talk about what you could do next to deal with this. What do you mean, Dad? Well, what could you do concerning that other kid? Well, I don't know. What do you think? Well, let's talk about it. Could you text him, or could you go to him and say, hey, I want you to know I'm sorry for what I did yesterday. That was wrong. I've been there. I felt the pain. That was wrong. I want to ask you, will you forgive me? Oh, Dad, that is huge to ask me to do that. I said, I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you to think what you should do. I'm just giving you a possibility. Let me tell you what happened to me at the office. We were in a meeting, and we're in a meeting over the changing of something at Sheridan House. And our meetings are very, very alive here at Sheridan House.
We have lively people
here.
Yes,
we do. I want everybody's opinion, and we're all in. And it got a little wild in there one time, and I let it go a little too far, and we were all a little too bought into this decision we're going to make. And I really made a sarcastic comment towards another guy across the table who I love. But I made this comment, and I watched it shut him down. And I had to wait for a couple of hours because we were still all a little hostile on this situation. And I had to go back down the hall, and I had to apologize. And then at the next meeting tomorrow, when we're all together, because tomorrow's the day we make that decision, I've got to say it again in front of everybody. I was wrong, and ask, will you forgive me? You decide what you need to do. But, wow, sometimes there's a great healing. And here's another thing. When you go down the hall where you see this kid in the hallway and you apologize to Eddie for what you said, it's not fun apologizing. It'll help you keep your mouth shut next time.
Yeah.
And it'll help you be slow to speak and quick to listen and slow to get angry. It'll help you do James chapter 1. When you have to apologize, I've had to apologize so many times in my life that it has helped me hold my tongue. Your next step after that, when you're ready, son, is to defend the one that's being picked on. How do I do that, Dad? Well, let's role play that and just figure it out. It's critical that we jump into their lives and help them. And when they've messed up, and when they've conformed, and when they feel compelled to say what they did, not to jump down their throat. You did what? You said what? Do you remember how much pain you were in when that happened to you? Well, guess what? I will never share with you again. It's good to listen and say, huh, wow, interesting. What do you think you should do differently?
Though you have to control yourself as a parent this training process.
Oh, yeah. But I don't want to ridicule. I want to train.
Yeah.
And help them know, I think this can be undone. And I think you can actually do something really cool that nobody your age does. It's going to say, I was wrong for jumping in there. I felt bad for you. I just was wrong. I don't know. It just came out of my mouth. And I'm going to do everything I can not to let that ever happen again.
Or if your child makes a decision to do something that everybody else is doing, not even making fun, but just a lifestyle choice, whether they bought the same book bag. It's such a minor thing, but
them.
Right. It's not to them, but I'm just, as an example, they do something that is what everybody else is doing. They later realize this is not really what I want. Helping that child come out of that and make a difference and reverse their decision and stand there, because they need that cheerleader back at home. They got to come home and be cheered, or else they're not going to do it.
Home needs to be the comfortable place. not the out of control place. Home needs to be the place they come for just exhaling rather than take a deep breath. We're in the car. We're heading out of here. We got stuff to do. We got stuff to go. You did what? You don't have your homework done? You got to be kidding me. Home needs to be the place where you get to go. At Sheridan House, and I know I've talked about this before, it's kind of interesting, and everybody's always shocked. If you're with me and we happen to go into one of the children's homes, which has been a while for me personally, but I happen to do this particular thing during the kids just got home scenario, and you'll see that the house moms have cookies and juice waiting for them. Now, these are middle schoolers, and watching these kids come in and put their book bags back in their rooms, and they come into the big kitchen area, and there's juice, and there's some cookies for every kid, and you just get to sit and be and exhale. You know, we're not going to start life with a lecture. There's things we have to accomplish, and there's things we're going to look at according to how you did in school today. But just this place to be and have an opportunity. And those are the opportunities we get to watch and see, and one encouraging another and say, that was awesome, rather than the classic middle school, I can keep everybody off of me by ridiculing everybody else. If I'm the first one to make fun, first one to shoot the shot, there's no shots left to come back at me. I think our children are just looking, could this be a comfortable place? And I think our children are looking for, can somebody help me do well? And I think our children are looking, can I just download? Is anybody listening? And I think that's why they get so into Facebook and some of these other places where they assume somebody's listening and they assume it's safe people listening. They need to be able to sit with us and talk. Remember, I've said this before when Roby was, I think he was in college when we did a television broadcast together for a big national television show. And we finished this half hour on Fathers and Sons. It must have been before Father's Day or something. And it was hilarious. Roby had us laughing so hard in this thing. And then he said, obviously, you and your dad are very, very close. And he said, yeah, I think my dad's my best friend. And I said, well, I don't think I know Roby's my best friend. And we were talking and we were laughing. And then he said, Roby, why do you think? Can you give me one reason? And Roby said, well, there's a lot, but I guess off the top of my head, one of the reasons my dad's my best friend is because he picked me up from school as many afternoons as he could at 5:30 or 6 o'clock, and we had a 45-minute drive. And my dad just let me talk. And I talk and talk and talk. And we had 45 minutes of life to process things. And we got out of there. And I said, you know, that's amazing. I would have thought that too, but I wasn't sure you would think that, because there were many times you just put your head back, reclined the seat, and went to sleep.
Right.
And she said, well, Dad, you were talking to me and I listened. But there were times you just let me talk. And when I said so-and-so hurt my feelings, or I said Tori hurt my feelings in the hallway today, or whatever it is, you listened and you helped me process and you helped me go, when we got home, go to Tori and say, Tori, I know this song's dorky, but you hurt my feelings with the way you said that thing in the hallway. And then Tori's cool. Tori's awesome. She'd say, you know, the minute I said it, I regretted it. The minute I said it, I was sorry I said it. I was with a bunch of kids and you were there.
Sounds like you have a magical family.
Well, it doesn't always work like that. And Tori was usually his great defender to the extreme through high school, which was bizarre to me at all 105 pounds. She'd get in anybody's face for him. Yeah, it was wonderful. But there were times when they bickered a lot, and there were times when they were in each other's face, and there were times when he was the little brother that would follow her around. But helping them download when people hurt their feelings, which always happened, helping them download when they didn't quite fit in, helping them download when they didn't get invited to the party, helping them download when they couldn't decide, I really want that, but now you're saying to get that extra thing is my money, and how do I do that? And I don't have the cool thing, the cool phone, the cool whatever, and helping them process that I think it'll be okay, and really help them say, and I don't either, and I'm okay. I know you don't get that now. I think I want to process the pain. The pressure brings pain, and help them process the pain and help us come to a, well, here's an example in my life, and help them also come to a where this is going to take you and how you're going to use it, and help them know, though, I think you're awesome. I think you're incredible. I'm cheering for you. Roby, you always know I've been the loudest voice on the sidelines of your life. In the soccer games, even when you were picking clovers, I was the loudest voice. They need to know that though peer pressure's coming one way, I'm coming another way. Yes, I will deal with unacceptable behavior, but I will never use my relationship to do that. I will not be yelling and screaming. And when I do yell and scream, I will say, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I love you. Will you forgive me? I didn't mean to yell and scream. That's not the consequence. I want to give my children the place to talk about the pressure that they're under. It's enormous pressure. And when they're not talking, and you're sitting and listening right here, no, but I got a 12-year-old boy who doesn't say a peep. I got a 12-year-old daughter who we know everything all the time.
Right.
And so that's when you got to find the venue. That's when you've got to get in their life. That's when you got to sit on the side of their bed. And that's when you got to say what Fraser Crane opened his radio show with, I'm listening, in whatever way to get him to talk. And don't belittle his pain. It's his pain. It's his peer pressure. It's where he fell short, and help him feel precious and valuable, and then cheer when they make the right decision.
You've been listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. This week, talking about peer pressure and helping our kids be ready for it and deal with it. And you can hear all these programs again if you missed one earlier this week. They're all online at parentingtoday.org, where you can also sign up for the daily blog that corresponds to the program. That's again online at parentingtoday.org. If you want to find out more about what Sheridan House Family Ministries does and the many resources available there as well, just go online to shfm.org. That's shfm.org. And we hope you'll join us again next week for another topic here on Parenting Today.